with this morning. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. This is a very familiar message for most people, this verse. And it's basically on the Great Commission. And the thing is, the Great Commission is really what the church is all about. I mean, that's the whole idea. I mean, it's built on this right here, the purpose of the church. And I would say that it's probably one of the areas to try, and it's the main thing, but it's also the main thing that we struggle with a lot of times. And a lot of times, too, this verse is really based on, a lot of people take it off as sharing the gospel, but there's more to it than just sharing the gospel. It's about discipling, and it's about baptism. But it also starts off at the beginning with the authority of God. So commission is an order. It's granting the power to perform various acts or duties, the right or duty to be performed, a certificate that is given to a military or a naval rank and authority. The rank and authority he receives is his commission in the army as a captain. It's to act on behalf of and in place of another, or a task or a matter entrusted to one as an agent for another, a group of persons directed to perform some duty. So, let's just start off in verse 18, is where we're going to start. Let me get over there real quick. Jesus comes, and it says, he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me into heaven and earth. And then he says, to go, therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Now, if you're a person that's ever struggled with what your purpose in life was, the thing that you were designed for, God gives us gifts and talents that we use. But I spent 25 years cowboying, all right? And one time I got injured, and I was told that I would have to quit if I wanted to keep from having an operation. And so I struggled with identity. I struggled with purpose. When I cowboyed, I had purpose. That's what I wanted to do. It's what I loved doing. And so in that process, God showed me that my identity is in him, and my purpose is this right here. It has always been this. It has always been this from the beginning, since 2,000 years, the purpose of the church. And so this verse really became my verse. Those of you who know me, sharing my faith is not something I have a problem with. My wife can attest. I used to. I'm not as forward about it as I used to be, but it would be nothing for me to catch somebody at a gas pump and present the gospel to them, simply even paying for their gas and then using that as an opportunity to show them God's grace. But the point is, I'm trying to make, is that this is neglected. There needs to be a sense of urgency, if you will, about it. Often we come to church, we do the church thing, we do the Wednesday night thing, and then when we leave here, not much more really happens after that. I mean, in reality. I'm speaking to the choir. I mean, I got four boys, we stay busy, we stay hooked up all the time, and where in the middle of that do I fit in witnessing to somebody? Not just in the way I act or carry myself, but literally telling somebody who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for me, and what Jesus wants to do for them. And it's really not hard. But the one thing that gets in our way a lot of times is perhaps the doubt, self-doubt, doubting ourselves that we can do it, right? And maybe part of that takes us out of our comfort zone. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go, the comfort zone, because I want to tell you something. When Paul was doing this message, right, he's talking to the church back in Ephesus. They didn't start going out into the world until they started getting persecuted. Okay, and by the way, it does take more than 12 people to share the world, share the gospel to the world. So, you know, it takes us. It's a part of our job. So what is the Great Commission? Well, it's spelled out right here for us. It's also spelled out in Mark 16, verse 15. And the Lord told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right? It takes more than just 12, all right, to evangelize the world. So that means that I'm a disciple, you're a disciple, the person next to you is a disciple, and it's that way all across the world. So basically it means all who follow Christ are God's people. And that makes us disciples. John the Baptist was one of the first disciples. Do you know that in God's economy, on God's team, there are a lot of chicken fryers? You ever heard that before? Chicken fryers? That is, there is a lot of people who have been genuinely saved, right? And there are on the team, and they're suited up, but they're not really making a difference. They're not focused on the goal. They don't even really know what that is. They're just wanting to, they want the chicken. That is, they want to be on the team because they want to go to heaven, but they really don't want to contribute to the team. Lots of people don't really know why they're here, but this is it. This is the whole purpose why you as a believer are here. We come to church for Pastor Bill to teach us and to edify us and to keep moving us forward in our faith. And we come Wednesday nights to do the same. But when we leave here, we have to do what Pastor Bill does here. You know, I seen it in 98, I started seeing a change in the church. And I'll be honest, some of it I didn't really like. And most of it because I felt like we were getting away from this. And we thought, you know, the best way is to invite somebody to church to get him in there. And then the preacher can save him. But that's our job, is to preach the word, to disciple. Okay, we're all disciples. And then to baptize. It's not left up to just Pastor Bill or your Sunday school teacher. There's two commands that God gives us, and I believe it sums up this verse, which it sums up all 10 of the commandments. And that is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. So that one in itself is the first reason why we ought to be sharing our faith. Because God loved us so much that yet while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And boy, that's good news. And if that's such good news, then why would we not want to share it with somebody else? Because not only does it save us from eternal damnation, but it saves anybody else who accepts it. I mean, what could be more important than that? The second one is to love thy neighbor as yourself. And this word neighbor, it's not talking about your next door person. It's talking about the people that you see day in, day out, that you pass coming and going. Those are your neighbors. Those are the people that we witness to. Now, I have seen a change. When I was younger, I was around a lot more people who grew up in religion, if you will. Now I have a lot more variety around me. All right, when I cowboyed, a lot of the guys were religious. All right, I even had a what you might call a real job for a little bit of time, and it was the same thing. Now I have a different job than I've had ever. And I have a mixture. I've got lesbians and gays, and I've got just average Joe. I'm a good person. I believe that there is a God. You understand? It's a lot more variety, and God's already given me lots of opportunities. But you got to jump on them. They're there. You know, these are people that you need to be praying for. You know, just imagine if we, instead of criticizing all the time about our politicians, which is easy to do, maybe we just prayed for them. I mean, can you imagine if every Christian really sincerely prayed for even the salvation of a person in our Congress or our president, or, okay, the impact. Maybe even them knowing it would impact them. Okay, the Bible is very clear to be praying for our leaders. But we spend so much time, even in the Christian realm, if you will, negative about it, when the only person that can really make that difference or change it is God. It has always been that through every generation. So if we're not really loving the Lord God with all our heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves, if we're really not doing Matthew 28, I mean, that's the reality of it. Some say, well, we got that's for other people, that's not for me. And I'll tell you, it makes you step out your comfort zone. It does me every time. When I cowboyed, it was easy because I was still in my comfort zone. But when I had to step out and speak to somebody that's not in my realm, it takes me out of my comfort zone. But the point is, that's what they did. The Jews were not comfortable stepping out of their comfort zone and going to the Gentiles. And one of the things this thing takes to do is compassion. I'll give you a definition of compassion. To suffer together, it is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feel motivated to relieve that suffering. So I am around people who live in sin all their life. I mean, I'm around some people I just, you know, blown away from some of the things I hear. But you know what? When you look at it, they're suffering. And not only will they suffer in this world, they will suffer in eternity without Christ. And that in itself should motivate us that much more. This should be the church's main business. Martin Luther said that this is something that we should be spent in. So there's 8 things that we can get from this, the Great Commission, okay? It's based on Jesus' authority, first of all. Too often we start reading at verse 19 and forget 18. But there's a part of the same statement. It's a good rule of thumb if you see the word therefore, we should discover what therefore is. What Jesus commands us to do emerges out of the authority he has received from the Father. All right, so God's given us the authority. Christ has told us, this is what you're going to do. This is what you need to do. It's like the marching orders, if you will. And we're to go out and do this. Okay? We are to go. Second, we are to go. The command is not just to be ready when people come to us, but to actually initiate something ourselves. This is never easy. It is not. I'll give you an example. And I've probably told some of you this story before. But I had taken a job. I'd taken an injury on one of the ranches I was working on. And I had to heal up. So it was going to take some time. So I decided to go to welding school. And in that process, I got a part-time job at a shop. And there was a man in the office that just dropped dead right there on the floor around everybody. You know, so you can see that set people's minds in motion and the wheels were spinning. And they all come out to the warehouse where I'm at the warehouse. And they're all talking about it. And then, you know, it was about God and heaven and once saved, always saved. A lot of stuff just spinning around. And I tell you, all these guys had been inoculated, if you will, but none of them knew Jesus. All right, it's easy in the Bible Belt to get inoculated. You know what I mean by inoculated? Everybody's gotten a little shot of Jesus. We know some stuff about Jesus, but we really don't know Jesus. Okay? And so the door of opportunity was knocking. And, of course, me being hesitant, you know, like this is taking me outside my comfort zone, immediately God says, now. I mean, that's exactly what he said. Now, Jacob, now. So I just opened up right there and shared the gospel. Now, you could hear the pin drop. And when it was all said and done, nothing was said, Everybody went about their way. But at the end of this, a guy who hadn't heard it all, is a big, big guy, comes barreling through the side door from the shop. And he says, "Wow." That's all he says. He doesn't say nothing else. And everybody goes on about their business. Time passes on. I meet that guy again. And he says, "You know what you said? I went and got saved." And he said, "Then I got my family saved. And then we got into church. And we're going to church now." And so, you know, most of the time that doesn't happen. You don't ever hear from somebody what's happened a lot of times. So you don't know what kind of impact a lot of times you're going to make. But nonetheless, it's still your job. It's still a part of what the church should be doing. We are to make disciples. This is three. We're to make disciples. Often the Great Commission is interpreted as being about converting unbelievers. This is something that gets left out, which is why I think we have so many people that receive Christ as their Savior, but then they struggle so much of their life because they don't know what else to do with it. All right? And what I've done over the years is that, hey, when you say that you're a Christian to me, then I find you fair game. Okay? If you're lost, I can't expect you to act any different because you're just lost. But if you confess to be a Christian, you're fair game to me. So if I would expect the same thing from a brother in Christ, if I am walking contrary to what God has taught me, then I would expect a brother to hold me accountable. And that's exactly what I do. And I remember same place, young man, living with his girlfriend, living a life of sin, telling me about Jesus. The church is letting him teach the youth. Guess what? I hold him accountable. Now, does that man ever get it right with God? I don't know. He come back and thank me. He's crying. He got mad and left work. And then he come back and thank me. Now, I don't know if he ever straightened it out. But the bottom line is that I think a lot of times we don't get them discipled. And then the things of this world, right, pull them away. Because they don't have a good foundation in the Word. And I can tell you that many times that's where, at work, lunchtime, good time for devotions. Good time for a Bible study. That works. And I've done it many a times. And sometimes it'd just be one person. But guess what? It's that one person God's put there for you. Okay? So getting someone to accept Christ, it's more than that. It's making disciples. And it requires a greater commitment than just evangelizing. Okay? That means you got to invest in people's lives, okay? Number four, we are to go to all nations. The word translated as nations here is the same word that translates elsewhere, okay? As in the Gentiles. So as we see later in Acts, the early Christians really struggled with moving beyond their ethnic Jews, the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. It was outside their comfort zone. The Great Commission assumes that we all will interact outside of our own groups despite our discomforts. All right? It requires us to step outside that comfort zone. It just does. So, you know, we do a lot like, hey, I'm a cowboy. So then you should be a cowboy. You can really, you know, direct to that group of people and you can relate with them. But here's the thing with the message of Christ, right? And discipleship. I don't have to be just to that group, okay? I can share the gospel and disciple anybody from any part of the world. Okay, when we was kids growing up, we had over 40 different nationalities in our house. And we've had that many at one time at our house. And that was one of the ways that my parents ministered to foreign countries. We were a big part of the BSU, and I can tell you many of them that we shared the gospel to. Some of them I know got saved, some of them I'm not sure got saved. But you don't have to have, I mean, sharing your faith and discipling somebody doesn't require you to have the same background as they do. Okay? We are to be baptized without going into detail about baptism, okay? The difference is, I would just say that Jesus expects these new disciples to be integrated into the Christian community, okay? And but being joined together with other baptized believers is essential. It's essential. Now, we are to teach. Now, some people say, well, I'm not a teacher. And a lot of us probably wouldn't do well in a school classroom, I'm sure. I know I wouldn't. While some would say that this generation only wants community and experience, guess what? We're not off the hook. When it comes to teaching, this teaching can come in many different forms, like corporate gatherings, church, one-on-one meetings. The church must not neglect its teaching activity, right? So, you know, that might be that just like these people started out in their homes, feeding the Marines, and then it started from there. It's just that simple. Satan will tell you it's not that simple. He'll get in you and think that get you think that you can't do it, right? But you can. You really can. Number 7, disciples are to be observed. They're to observe the commands, okay? An attempt to avoid images of legalism, okay? Some churches are loose with their expectations of obedience. I'm not talking about obedience to the church at the ways that leads to legalism either, okay? I'm talking about what Jesus commands us. Salvation is by what? Grace. Through faith. Not of works. But that does not mean that we get to disobey Jesus. It does not give us a green card to do as we please when we get saved. Okay? Part of what we do when we get saved is we do it because we go back, we love Him for what He's done for us. And it goes back to, you know, those commandments. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus' presence makes it possible. The Great Commission starts with the authority of Jesus, and it ends with this presence of Jesus. The Great Commission is not something for us to do on our own power. We do the best we can with the gifts that God has given us, and only on the presence of Jesus and the strength that comes from that. You can't ever do it alone. I've learned that a long time ago. The walk is too difficult to do alone. The fight is too hard. But it's our fight. It is what God has given us to do. It's part of the relationship with Him. It's part of the way we express our love to Him and as He expresses His love to us. And I'll close with this last thing. Prophecy is always something I'm always interested in. I like to read about it. I like end time stuff. Mostly because it gets me excited because, hey, I'm ready to go home. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, who wouldn't be, right? So, and all my sons are saved. I know my wife's saved. I know I will see them in glory one day. So death has never bothered me. And so I probably would definitely hate to leave my wife and my kids. But I'm good. I really am good. And I struggle just like any other man or woman here. The battle of sin is something that we deal with daily. Okay? But when I mention urgency, there needs to be a sense of urgency about that in each one of us. That time is running out. Okay? In 1998, that is the message that God pressed in on me as a young man. That was back when I cowboyed. And, you know, I found that when you're alone and there are no distractions, it's easy to get along with God. And I'll tell you what, when you're on a horse in the top of the mountains above tree line, it's very easy. And I had many, many conversations there. And it was the beginning of some really huge changes in my life. And some of those were profound. Some of those were even in dreams. And some of those were even in the Holy Spirit just motivating me to fast. Okay? And fasting is not something to take light by any means. But when there's this, when the Holy Spirit moves on you, do so, I recommend you do so. And the point I'm going to get at to that is because every one of the dreams I have, without going into the mall, all deal with urgency. And it got me, think about this, most of you whose kids are out of the house, 20 years went by pretty fast, didn't it? When the Bible says that it's a poof, right? It goes like that. It's been a mist. It's fast. So 20 years, 98, God's telling me that you need to have a sense of urgency. You need to be about my work. And then that just got the ball rolling for me. Then another time, and by the way, many of these dreams are not just something I've had. They're reoccurring dreams. Okay, and that's why I feel like they're from God, because it's kind of like, you know, the Bible has said a second time, it's a confirmation. So the last dream I had, unfortunately, is when I was down on my back, not do anything. You know, talk about take a man's ability to do anything away from him, and it will humble him pretty quickly. And so, without, it was just a reminder that time is short, and that we need to have a sense of urgency about us. And I can sit and go through all kinds of little deals about, you know, like chips that they can put in your hand, and, you know, Israel's ready to build their temple, and I can tell you all those things. If you don't pay attention to the news or read very much, it's out there. So there's a lot of things that are really putting us to the edge of this. And we all can see how the train's moving. Okay? So I urge you, my brothers and sisters, look for the opportunities. Don't shy away from them. Step out of your comfort zone. Love with compassion. And remember that this is an eternal. This is about eternity. This is about the kingdom of heaven. We're furthering the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And what could be more important or honorable than reaching people for the Lord? Well, let's close with that. Dear Heavenly Father, I am as guilty as any man that at times I lax in this and forget, even when you've shown me so many things, and I still allow at times my comfort zone to interfere or feel that I'm inadequate when I know that I'm not. And that you have set the stage. All I have to do is do what you've asked me to do. And yes, Lord, I know that I'm not, or any of us, as we share the gospel, are not always going to have the answers that we want. Matter of fact, most of the time I've found over the years that even when I've done what you've wanted, I have gotten a negative response in return. But it's still the job you've given us. I pray, Lord, that you give us the compassion and the burden that we need upon our hearts to reach out to a lost world that is suffering. And Lord, that there would be a sense of urgency because time is running out. And Lord, I don't think any of us, want to leave this world thinking that we didn't do enough. So help us, Lord, to have the courage and the boldness that we need to be the witness that you've called us to be. And help us, Lord, to disciple. And we praise you and give you the glory in everything. In Christ's name, amen.